All right. Thank you, Sister Johnson. If you know the Lord Jesus, that made the difference. Thank God for the truth she was singing there. I want you to go to the Old Testament with me. We're going to go back and we're going to take a story. It's probably somewhat familiar to many of you. And you pray for me. To do this story justice, we should be here to about 3:30 this afternoon. But we're going to cut you a little shorter than that. But I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21. 1 Kings, chapter 21, and we're just going to hit a few high points in it. I think you'll recognize it pretty quick. I'm going to speak on the subject, Deserts of a Queen, or subtitle, or When a Wicked Woman Rules. I don't know what that laughter means. I suspect some of you might think I had Hillary in mind. I've told you before, she's not my pick. I agree with husband Bill. He never picks her. Now, that's about all you're going to get out of me on that right now. 1 Kings 21 says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee this inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down, Ahab laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? He said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me the vineyard for money, or else it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial — it's the false religion she belonged to, Baal worship — set two men of sons of Belial before him to hear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were in the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and set before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. If you read further in the next few chapters and later on in 2 Kings, you'll discover not only did they stone Naboth, they stoned his sons. You see, the inheritance belonged to Naboth, and it couldn't pass to his sons because they killed them too. So we just read an awful, awful thing here that happened with this sorry, evil queen called Jezebel. You know, folks don't name their kids Jezebel. Aren't you glad, men? Because you might have married one of them. Some fellas said, I married one by mistake. She was disguised. But anyway, all joking aside, men might name an old stubborn mule Jezebel. I had an old car one time. I thought that name would fit pretty good. But the truth of the matter is, it's a bad name. I mean, there's an evil attached to it. All down through history, we recognize that. Now, thank God there's some good queens. I think probably England's queen is a good lady. I think she just turned 90 this week. And you got some good queens in the Bible, and you got some bad ones in all of that, no doubt about it. But in the context here, we have Ahab, who is the king of Israel, and he's pouting like a third grader because he can't have Naboth's vineyard. And the fact is, God passed the land from one Jew to another. Naboth is a very God-fearing Jew, and he's wanting to honor the word of God, and God gave him his inheritance, and he's supposed to keep it. He's not supposed to sell it. And that's what he told the king. But the king's pouting over it. Now, the king was within his rights to offer him money or to even trade him another vineyard, but also Naboth had the right to say, no, this is an inheritance of my fathers. This come from God. And no, I won't let you have it. And as we look here, we see a truth. When I said the queen's deserves what she's going to deserve, she gets what she's going to deserve. You ever hear anybody say, boy, he deserved that? Sure. We understand that. In the Old Testament, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. In the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived. In other words, don't deceive yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we hear folks today say, what goes around comes around. We understand that. We've heard the word poetic justice. And all of that, we're understanding that sooner or later, sin and judgment catches up. And as I look in the picture here in the story, it is something to behold. Time would not allow to give you all the details, but I'd encourage you to read this whole story. Read it through 1st and 2nd Kings, and you'll learn quite a bit from it. Let me start out by just kind of talking to you about the plot here that we just read about here in chapter 21. The story here of Naboth's vineyard, it was his inheritance. Now, the queen sets up a frame-up. We know what that means? A conspiracy. To trap him. And she uses the power of government. She sends the letters in the king's name with the king's seal. And we look around today and still see that government is used for bad sometime. We got the homosexual agenda being pushed from Washington, D.C. That's bad. I saw where Judge Moore out in Alabama, who's climbed back up to the high judge of Alabama, but now the federal government is trying to take his job away from him, fine him, even threaten him with jail because he told the judges under him that the state of Alabama had the right to not recognize and give out gay marriage license. Thank God for Judge Moore. He stood behind this pulpit. How many of you remember years ago when we had him? We packed the building at 10 o'clock, about as much as it's ever been packed when Judge Moore spoke. He's a man of convictions, a born-again man with a King James Bible that believes in every word of it. And boy, has he been persecuted for it. You ought to pray for him. I hope you will. But government being used to do wrong is what I'm talking about. And that's what Jezebel was doing here, using the power of government. Did you see this week where the IRS admitted they had targeted conservative folks like us? Finally, the pressure put on them to where they admitted that. So here was a big frame-up, writing the letters, getting false witnesses to come to accuse Naboth and to have him and his son stoned. What an awful plot we read right here. But then look at the prophecy in the midst of the plot. Pick it up in chapter 21 and look at it in verse 17. They go down to possess the vineyard. Can you see the picture? Can you see the royal chariot being rolled out? Jehu is the driver, and the big car is the fellow that accompanies the chariot. And here they take the king down to Naboth's vineyard. All of a sudden now it's free and clear. The owners are dead. He's going to take it. He's going to confiscate it unto himself. And he goes down now. Happy moment for him. But God takes notice. And God speaks to the prophet. And old Elijah is waiting on him behind one of those vines. And when old Naboth's vineyard is entered by the king, Elijah steps out and he confronts the king. Got a lot of folks today think preachers ought not confront politics. Well, nail your tongue to a post and walk off. The truth of the matter is, evil ought to be confronted nowhere, no matter where it's at. Whether it's in the big house, the little house, or a house in between, sin is still sin. Amen. Look at it here in chapter 21. Pick it up in verse 17. Verse 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth's, whither he is gone down to possess it. Verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, if the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O my enemy? Look at this. You know what? There's a lot of folks think the true church is its enemy today. They think the Bible's the enemy. I saw this week, some of you heard it on our radio station, where a little, what, 7, 8-year-old boy, first, second grader, his mother gave him a Bible verse or a little Bible story, and he had it in his lunchbox, and he shared it with a playmate at lunch. And the teacher heard about it and said, oh, no, we got separation of church and state. They sent a deputy sheriff to the parent's house to intimidate them and tell them never to do that again. That's where we're at, folks. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? But here, Elijah was not very politically correct. He stepped out behind that grapevine. He confronted King Ahab, and he said, have you killed, and have you come now to possess? And old Ahab says, you're my enemy. And that's what they're saying about us today. But they're really saying God is their enemy. And notice here down in verse 20, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold what? Thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, he's already told him here in verse 19, where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, they're going to lick your blood. But Jezebel's also got some mention here. If you'll go on in the chapter and pick it up in verse 23. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now that's a prophecy, folks. That's a prophecy concerning Ahab. That's a prophecy concerning Jezebel. And God said it. Now the story moves on from there. And many years pass. And somebody could say, well, where's God? Well, I done this and lightning didn't hit me. Preacher said not to do this. This is why I done it and I'm getting by all right. Watch out. Time moves on. But listen to me. God's wheels of judgment grind slow. They turn slow. But they grind fine. They don't miss anything. And in time, you watch it. It always comes around. And here's I look at this prophecy, God said so. And yet the king seems to move on and doing some things. And somebody could say, where's God? God hadn't forgotten. Do you remember as a kid when mama said daddy was going to get you and you hoped he'd forget? I remember that. I found out daddy didn't forget. I've also found out God don't forget. I mean, it's going to come around. If he said it, you can count on it. It's going to be true. There's no doubt about it. But right here, I notice the years now begin to pass. I don't think Ahab forgot, do you? I think he remembered what Elijah said. I think he remembered that Elijah said, where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, they're going to lick your blood. I think he didn't forget. I think every time a dog barked, he jumped. Truth of the matter is, he didn't forget, but God hadn't forgotten either. Time moves on now. It begins to move on in this case. Here you have Jezebel representing false religion. She'd brought in Baal worship, replaced the worship of the Lord God Jehovah. You had Elijah and Elisha later standing against it. But the people, you remember how that Elijah had to have the confrontation up on Mount Carmel? Remember when all the prophets of Baal had gathered? And Elijah said, let the one that answers by fire be God. Remember the story? And God did answer by fire. And the prophets of Baal were slain, but Jezebel came and after Elijah. Remember the story? She was using false religion. In America today, false religion has made inroads like you would not believe. And today, if you stand against it, you're called a bigot. If you stand against it today, you're narrow-minded. And today, we are declared the enemy if we say the truth. And the truth is that no man's coming to the Father but by Jesus Christ. They hate that verse, John 14:6. They hate it. Jesus said it, though. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get there by Muhammad. You don't get there by Buddha. You don't get there by the false religions. You get there by the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You say, I don't like that. Don't matter. You're not God. He is. And God gave his only begotten Son, the truth itself. And you are going to find out when God's wheels of judgment finally turn, those that reject Christ are going to be in the worst condition of all. No, the prophecy here, awesome time went by. Time went right on by. But I want you to notice not only the plot, not only the prophecy, but look at the payoff. The payoff comes as you let a lot of years go by. The king of Israel, Ahab, he'd done a few right things. He even tried to repent before God. But time moved on, and this is a day come, they had a summit meeting. Summit meeting was between King Ahab of Samaria, of Israel, and the king of Judah by the name of Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was the opposite from Ahab. Jehoshaphat was a God-fearing king. He loved the Lord. But you notice today, and you see it a lot, you see good men get entangled with bad men. And King Jehoshaphat came to have a meeting with Ahab. And Ahab is trying to enlist Jehoshaphat to help him fight in the battle. And he said, Ramoth Gilead, the city over here, he said, it's ours. We ought to go take it. And will you join me in it? And Jehoshaphat said, oh, yeah, my soldiers will be like yours. My horses, my warriors will be like yours. But Jehoshaphat said, we would like to know what the Lord has to say about it. There are some prophets of God. Remember what happened? Old Ahab brought in the prophets of Baal. And they begin to dance around in front of the kings and say a bunch of funny stuff and say to Ahab, go and take it. It'll be yours. The Lord says you'll win. But Jehoshaphat's not totally fooled. He's sitting there listening to that. He said, but isn't there a prophet of the Lord here also? See, he was serving a different Lord. He wanted to know what God's preacher said, not the false idol worshipers, not the Baalites over here. And finally, old Ahab says, well, there is one, but he never says anything good about me. Remember the story? So Jehoshaphat says, well, let my Lord not say so. Bring him in. So they brought Micaiah in. Remember the story? Micaiah come in. I'd have loved to pastor in the same town with him. I mean, he was plain, he was honest, he was not intimidated. And Micaiah come in, and the messenger that went to get Micaiah said, now the rest of us, the ministerial assassination here, we've all prophesied good for the king. When you come, you join us, you say the same thing. Micaiah said, I'll say what the Lord told me to say. And Micaiah comes in, and in mockery he says to Ahab, oh yeah, go out, you'll win. And Ahab knew he was mocking him. He said, how many times I got to adjure thee to tell me the truth? Then Micaiah tells him the truth. You're not going to win. You're not going to come back in peace. And the king gets mad.
And he calls the IRS on him. Now I'm running into today's language. He put him in jail on bread and water. Remember the story? And he said, keep him there till I come in peace. And old Micaiah said, you're not coming in peace. And he didn't. But he goes out in the battle. He's scared now. So he goes out in the battle and he puts on a disguise. He tells Jehoshaphat, and I don't know where Jehoshaphat's brain was. He tells the good king, you wear your robes. You look like a king in the battle. But me, I'm going to disguise. And so the battle's engaged. And the king over there of the enemy said, look, don't fight with the small or the great. Just go after Ahab. So his soldiers thought they had Ahab, and it was Jehoshaphat. That's the only king they could see. And Jehoshaphat cries out something like, I'm not him. He's in disguise. The soldiers don't know who's who, but God does. And you read over in the scripture, it says, in this same chapter over here, it says that a bowman drew a bow at a venture. He didn't have a target. He just said, let the arrow come down and find who it will. But see, God knew who to find. And that bowman that drew his bow at a venture, the arrow went up and it came down and it found the one crease in Ahab's armor as he rode his chariot in disguise. And the arrow penetrated him. No, Ahab said to his chariot driver, I'm wounded. Get me out of the battle. And they took him back. But when they, blood's puddling in the chariot now. And when the men take the chariot down outside the city to the gate, at the very place where Naboth's vineyard was, to wash the blood out of the chariot, the dogs came and licked up Ahab's blood. The very spot where Naboth was stoned and his little boys were stoned, right there is where the dogs came and licked up the blood of Ahab. You know something? Verse 37, 38, we'll look at it right here in the chapter. Verse 37, 38, get my pages right. Chapter 22, go over into chapter 22 with me. Verse 37, and the king died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor. Watch the next statement, according to the word of the Lord which he spake. That's back in chapter 21, 19, where he spake. Exactly what God said, exactly what the Lord said would happen here, happened. Now think about it with me a minute, folks. The payoff always comes. It always comes. You know, more time goes on now. Remember, there was a double prophecy. It was not only a prophecy about Ahab, what was going to happen to him, but it was a prophecy about what was going to happen to Jezebel. Remember? So time passes on. The king's dead. She's still ruling. She's up there. She's still got the power. This wicked woman is still in charge. And more time goes on. But go over to chapter 9 now of 2 Kings. Look how much time has gone by. Has God forgot? Has he forgot his prediction about her? Did he got Ahab, but has he forgot about her? I go over now to 2 Kings chapter 9, and pick it up with me in about verse 35. Well, let me tell you the story before we get to verse 35. You remember Elijah's been caught up to be with the Lord now. He's been raptured up. But another prophet has taken his place by the name of Elisha. Remember the story? And you remember how God spoke to Elisha and he said, go down there to the college where these ministerial students are at. That's what they were. They had a college. And he went down to the sons of the prophets. And he told Elisha, pick one of the sons of the prophets and send him on an errand. So Elisha picked the prophet, son of the prophet, just a ministerial student, we'd call him today. And he said, I want you to go into the city. I want you to go into where
Jehu is at. And can you imagine this? Here's these tough guys. Jehu, big car. They'd been the chariot drivers for King Ahab. They were had some position in the army. And they're all in a building here, and they're carrying on whatever they're doing. And all of a sudden, can you imagine how it looked out of place for the door to open? And a young college student with a white shirt and tie on come in. Well cut, clean, and nervous, tense. That's what it would have been, just like that. He goes in, and they look at him and say, "What do you want?" And that young man says, "I want you. I got a message for you." And Jehu says, "Me or somebody?" He said, "No, you. Come in here. I got to talk to you privately." No, Jehu gets up and goes with this young, clean-cut fella, steps in another room. Now, Elisha had told him, "You deliver the message, and then you get out of there. You leave." You read the story, and you find out he went in there, and he poured some oil on Jehu, and he said, "I've been sent to tell you, you're going to be the king of Israel." And then he tells him, "You're going to bring judgment on your master's house. You're going to bring judgment on Jezebel." And he said, "When you kill her, you don't even bury her." And he does what Elisha told him to do. He opens the door and he runs. He's scared. He delivers his message. He gets out of there. Jehu walks back out in front of the crowd where they were playing poker or drinking beer. I don't know what they were doing. They were having a big men's fellowship right there. And he walked back out and they said, "What this bad fellow want, Jehu?" And he said, "Well, he told me I'm the king." And all of a sudden they start throwing their clothes down in front of him and hollering, "Jehu is king." And then Jehu gets on the mission. He gets in the chariot and he runs back to Samaria. He's riding, and the Bible says he drove furiously. Jehu broke the speed limit. He's heading back. And the watchman on the wall sees him coming. Remember the story? And the other king is visiting over here also. And he said, "Go find, what does he want?" So they send a rider out. And the rider comes to Jehu and he said, "Is it peace?" Jehu says, "What's peace got to do with you? Fall in behind me." So the rider falls in behind him. Send a second rider. And then he does the same thing. He said, what's peace got to you? Fall in behind me. Jehu keeps coming. He keeps coming. And the watchman's crying out. He comes in and he destroys the seed of Ahab. And then as he drives in, Jezebel paints her face and looks out the window and cries out to Jehu. Remember the story? Jehu looks up at the window and sees this painted hussy looking out at him. And he cries out and says, "Anybody up there on my side?" Two or three eunuchs step up. Look up what a eunuch is, basically slaves. They step up. He said, "Throw her down." They throw her down. She lands. And his horses run over, trample her. He goes on in to get something to eat and drink. Remember the story? But then he gets to thinking about it, and he said, "Well, somebody ought to go bury her because she was a king's daughter. Ethbel's daughter, remember? Baal worship." Anyway, they go out to bury her. And a strange thing has happened. The dogs got there first, just like the prophecy said. And you get to reading right on over there in chapter 9, and you'll find out what happened over there in 2 Kings chapter 9. You find out when they got there to bury her. Pick it up, women, chapter 9 and verse 35. "And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull, the feet, and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, 'This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite.'" Many years ago, Jehu, see, was the driver of the chariot that took Ahab down to the vineyard to possess it. He remembers what Elijah said. He said, this is the word of Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. Jehu, he was just a hired chariot driver when all that happened, but he remembered what God's prophet said. A time will come that the dogs will eat the flesh of Jezebel. Yeah, the queen got her deserts, what she deserved. Our nation today is going to get out of deservance if we're not careful. Evil can rule for a while, but God's judgment catches up. It always does. It always does. God is not mocked. He is not mocked. We will reap what we have sown. We'll do it as a nation. Let me say to you personally, you'll do it as an individual too. Yes, you will. You know, God has a way of bringing things out. I remember the story of a flood that came in a country where it flooded out, and you've seen this happen. Happened in Louisiana and other places where it floated the caskets out of the cemeteries. And the sheriff tells a story in his little town where a man had mysteriously died a number of years before, and they'd buried him, but the flood washed his casket up and broke it up. And there was nothing but the skeleton in the casket, but right in his temple was a great big nail. Now they know why he died. They trace it back however many years it had been. And the sheriff called in the widow of the man still alive. And on his desk, he had the skull of the man and the nail sticking in it. She came in, saw the skull of her husband with a nail in it. She confessed, I done it. All those years passed, but it still happened. God caught up. And the truth is, he caught up with Jezebel. He caught up with Ahab. He'll catch up with America. He'll catch up with you and I. Don't get by with it, folks. We'll get our desserts, in a sense. And I ask you today, is it going to catch up with your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's too bad that some folks think, I've got it covered. It'll never be found out. The truth is, a lot of folks today are going to find that God never has forgotten. He is still on the trail. You see, when he caught up with Jezebel here, all that was left when the dogs got through was the skull and the feet and the hands. Now think about it. The skull that devised the evil plot to kill Naboth and his sons. Just the skull. And then think about the feet that delivered the message. You can have Naboth's vineyard now. He's dead. And then the hands, the palms is left. The hands that wrote the letters. Oh yeah, God's given us a message. His wheels do grind slow, but they grind fine. They don't miss. They don't miss anything. I'd say to you today, if you rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you can receive him. Otherwise, you're going to face the God that gave his son that you rejected. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, it's an awful thing. What a terrible thing it is to trample the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot. Do you understand what that's saying? God's saying, I gave my son to die for your sins that you could be saved by grace and have heaven as your home. And you say, no, I'll cover it up. I'll forget it. I reject you. I don't care. I'm going to go along with the world instead of you. God said, one day, you're going to answer to me. And he don't take it lightly that we walk out and trample the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. Blood is a thing that still catches most murderers today. Did you know that? And today, with science being what it is, they catch a lot more. The day and time is different. I remember reading a story about a fellow in Kentucky. He'd gotten out of prison. Nobody cared much about him, but his grandma took him in. She fed him. She looked after him. For a number months it went on, and how good she was to him. And then one day she was found dead. She was found dead in a horrible way. She'd been apparently stomped on, blood everywhere. He came home, that boy come home, that grandson came home, and the sheriff and the crowd was gathered there, and he was saying, oh, if I ever catch the guy that did this, I love my grandma, and grandma was so good to me. And somebody began to look down at his feet, and they saw the blood on his boots. They found out he was the one. He was the one. You're not going to walk in God's presence in rejection of Christ without answering for the blood that you trampled in rejecting him. Say to you today, if you're not saved, if you don't know today you'd go to heaven if you died, you can come receive the Lord Jesus Christ today. The truth is, some time's passed since you first heard the gospel. Maybe a lot of time has passed. You might have heard it as a teenager, and now you're a grandpa. I don't know. I know this, God has not forgotten. And one day, it'll have to be faced. How is it with you today? What can we learn from this story? We can learn that what God has predicted is going to come about. How do we stand? How do we stand? Let's bow our heads, please. While our heads are bowed, how many of you can say by the uplifted hand, preacher, I'm saved. I know Jesus. I received him. His blood covers my sin. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know it. Can you lift the hand up this morning? Can you do it? Thank you for so many. I ask you to put them down. And are you here today and you say, preacher, when you pray, remember me, I'm not saved. In a sense, I've walked over the blood of Christ for a long time. I've heard the story for a long time ago, and I've never received him. But pray for me. Would you do that? Would you lift your hand? By that lifted hand, I'll not come to you, call your name, but I'll have you in mind as I pray. Would you slip that hand up this morning? Would you do it? Is there one? Let's stand quietly, please, to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I ask your blessing on the invitation. Father, I've just hit the high points of a tremendous, tremendous teaching story. So much we can learn. Real people that real things happen to. And Father, here was an old king that ignored your word, but your word came through true just like you said it would. And Father, there's a lot of folks today ignoring your word, but it's going to come true just like you said. And Father, in the sound of my voice right now in this building or on radio, out in radio land, I pray that no one would reject your word, but come and receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd bless the invitation right here and have your way. May your Holy Spirit speak to hearts, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me right here? I pray you.